Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing to share from a new book that I've got entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. And actually, this is just a compilation of 16 different books that I've written. I've got 16 chapters in the book, and each chapter is devoted to just summarize an entire book that I have. And I am excited about this concept because it allows people to get an overview of some of these truths that really they don't stand independent of each other. When you combine them together, it really gives you an understanding of the nature and the character of God that you don't get by just looking at one part of it. You know, it's very similar to, I've heard this example before, that if you can imagine yourself being a fly and landing on this masterpiece, a painting, but you know, the fly is just so close up there that all it sees is a blob of red or whatever, and it can't see how that blob fits in with the whole thing. But if you get back and look at it, then you see how all of these different colors and that little blob is just perfect, and it makes this masterpiece. But you can get so close to something that you honestly don't see how it fits in with everything else. And so this is one of the advantages, I think, of sometimes just dealing with a topic quickly, summarizing it, and putting all of these summaries together. It gives you an overall impression that, these truths that are in this book are things that God has shown me, and I have them all together, and I can see the overview, and this has changed my entire image on God. But sometimes when people watch a program like this, and you just listen to one program, or if you only study one of the teachings that God has revealed to me, you may not see how it all fits together. So I'm excited about this book because it gives the overview of all of these things, and I think that is very beneficial. Yesterday I was talking about how God wants you well, and again, this is, I think, the 14th teaching, I think, in this 16-chapter book. And with most of these, I've only devoted one day to it. Again, today, I want to talk about healing just a little bit. And primarily what I was trying to get across yesterday is that God wants you well. It's a part of Jesus' atonement. It's not separate. You don't need to look at salvation as being forgiveness of sins and then healing or miracles or blessings as being something that is optional, add-on. It's not part of the essential thing that Jesus came to do. But that's the wrong impression. God died to produce healing in your body. And see, unless you get this attitude and recognize it's something He's already done, and all you've got to do is just reach out and take it, instead of going and saying, God, I know You can, but will You do this? If you waver like that, I use those verses out of James chapter 1, that if any man wavers, he's like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And that really describes where a lot of people are. They believe God can heal, but they don't believe that God wants to heal them, or even better way of saying it, they don't believe that it's a part of the atonement of Jesus, that it's already been done. And so it's something that they just have to kind of throw their prayer out there, and if they get healed, well, then they assume that it must have been God's will. If they don't get healed, then they say, well, for some reason, God hadn't healed me. I couldn't tell you how many people are waiting on God to heal. And they say, I've asked, and I'm just waiting. And yet that is not the right attitude at all. See, you've got to understand, just like it says, 1 Peter 2:24, the last part of that verse, by His stripes we were healed. It's already been done. God has already healed every person that is ever going to be healed. You don't need to ask God to heal you. You got to believe that it's done and reach out and take it. You know, here's an example that will illustrate what I'm talking about. When I was 8 years old, I went to a Baptist vacation Bible school that we held at our church. There was about 600 kids in this thing. And normally, I sat on the front row with my family. I guess it was really about two rows back, but it was right up at the front. And it was like we had our own pew, just like the skunk that went to church. He got to sit in his own pew. Amen. This was a place we sat. I was always up front. But because this was a vacation Bible school, I was in a group, and they marched us in according to the class that we were in. And they had me at the very back of this auditorium. Again, there were 600 kids in this auditorium. And so a man was standing up at the pulpit, and he was trying to illustrate how salvation was and how it's a gift, but it's already been given, and you just have to reach out and take it. You don't just ask for it and wonder, will God give it to you? But it's done. It's like it's set on the table in front of me, and you've got to reach out and take it. And so to illustrate this, this guy took out a dollar bill and held a dollar bill up in his hand like this. And you got to remember, back when I was 8 years old, a dollar bill was a pretty big deal. I mean, there wasn't a kid in there that wouldn't have wanted to have a dollar bill. And so he held this dollar bill up and he said, I'll give this dollar bill to the first kid that comes up here and takes it. And instantly, I mean, there was like 20 or 30 kids just around him, and they were all standing there, I want it, I want it. And I thought of all the times to be on the back row. If I'd have had my normal seat up front, I could have been up there. But this guy just ignored all of these kids. And he kept his arm in the air and he said, I'll give this dollar bill to the first kid that comes up here and takes it. And everybody was wondering, what's he doing? Every one of these kids wants it. And he just kept repeating this. He did it three or four times. And finally, it hit my lightning fast mind what this guy was doing. And I remember getting out of my seat, running down the aisle, pushing my way through all of these other kids. And he had his arm up in the air like this, and I grabbed his arm and I literally climbed up his side and I reached up there and grabbed that dollar bill out of his hand. And he looked at me and he said, that's the first kid that came up here and took it. He said, every one of you wanted it, but only one took it. And he said, this is the way salvation is. Lots of people want salvation and they will ask God to save them. But he says, God's already done it. Now, here it is. Are you going to take it? You've got to believe and you've got to take it. And that's the way that salvation, the forgiveness of your sins, is. But it's not limited to forgiveness of sins. That's also how healing is. You've got to understand that Jesus died to produce your healing. And it's not just for a select few. It is God's will for every single person to be well. And I know that there's somebody thinking, well, if that's so, well, then why doesn't everybody get healed? Well, is it God's will for every person to be saved? Obviously, 2 Peter 3:9 says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet Jesus himself said that there would be more people enter by the broad road and the broad gate unto destruction than by the narrow road and the narrow gate unto everlasting life. So God's will is for every person to be saved, but not they aren't all saved. Why? Because God's will doesn't just automatically come to pass. We have to cooperate. We have to reach out and take it. Likewise, it is God's will for you to be well, but if you're praying and saying, oh God, please heal me, that's not how it's going to happen. You have to take your authority and speak and release it. It says over in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse, I think, 14 or 15, he starts praying a prayer. And it's really significant the way he prays. You know, if most of us were writing a prayer down that was going to be read 2,000 years in the future, how would you pray for people 2,000 years in the future? I can guarantee you, based on most prayers that I've heard people pray, most people would say something like, Father, I ask you to pour out your power. Just touch this generation. Oh, God, move. Do a new thing. Send revival. Oh, God, stretch forth your hand and do a new work, a mighty. And it would all be about pleading with God to do something. Instead, Paul's prayer is, God, open up their eyes to what you've already done. Show them the exceeding greatness of the power that you have already placed on the inside of them, the same power that you used when you raised Jesus from the dead and set him at your own right hand in the heavenly places. He's not praying that God would do something new, but rather that we would get a revelation of what's already been done. And in the process of saying that, he says that we have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That is the greatest demonstration of God's power that has ever existed. I believe that raising Jesus from the dead took more power than creating the heavens and the earth, greater than parting the Red Sea, greater than anything God has ever done. All of Satan's forces were marshaled against the resurrection of Jesus, because that's the pivotal point that set us all free. And yet, God's power was able to overcome all of Satan's kingdom, everything, and raise Jesus from the dead. And you, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, have raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And yet, the average Christian approaches God as like, oh God, I can't do anything. The doctor says I'm going to die. The doctor says this is incurable. I've had this 10 years. I've had this 20 years. And oh God, and we just come before the Lord, pathetic, pitiful. God, I can do nothing. I am nothing. I have nothing. And I know that there's some of you listening to this and saying, well, the Scripture says in John chapter 15, I believe it's verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. Well, that's true. And I admit that without God, I am nothing. But I am not without God. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Like Paul said, it's no longer me living, it's Christ living in me. And a born-again, Spirit-filled Christian should not have this pathetic attitude where you come before God as, oh God, I can't do anything, it's incurable. Would you please, pretty please, if it be your will, move and beg and plead with God like that. You know, I know that the things I'm saying are just like a slap in the face to some people. And this is against everything I've ever heard and ever taught. I just can't believe that you're so arrogant. You know, I don't have the time to be able to explain myself. I don't want to sit here and just defend myself. But I'm telling you, it's not arrogance on my part. It's actually humility on my part to go against what I see in the mirror and what I just feel in myself. And I have to take by faith what God's Word says about me. And I'm saying these things about the power that I have and what I can do, not because I always feel this way, but because this is what God's Word teaches me. I used yesterday where Peter and John went into the temple at the hour of prayer and they saw that lame man and they didn't pray for him. They said, such as I have, give I unto thee. And they just reached down and grabbed him and commanded him to be healed. Boy, that's powerful. And yet, if you were to take that approach, what I'm saying right here, there's a lot of people who get offended and think it's arrogance and think that I'm promoting myself and these kind of things. And religion has just made the word of none effect. Mark 7:13, your traditions and doctrines of man make the word of none effect. And that's exactly what's happened. We've had this, I can do nothing, I have nothing, I'm weak, I'm powerless. Oh God, would you please stretch forth your hand? We've had that attitude ground into us so that there's many people just rejecting the points that I'm trying to get across because it violates your religious tradition. But I'm telling you, this is what the Word says. I've been quoting Scriptures to you. Jesus said, you go heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. He told us to do it. Now, it's not our power. It's God's power, but it's in us. It's at your disposal. And if you continue to approach the Lord and just beg and plead for God to do what He told you to do, you aren't going to receive. There are some of you praying for healing and you are begging. You're fasting. You're having other people pray. You're doing all of these things. And yet I'm saying this in love. I don't mean it to hurt you. I'm trying to enlighten you. You're going to die if you continue on the course that you're going on. You've got to find out that God has already done it. And then, like that example I gave about just reaching out and grabbing that dollar, you're going to have to get convinced that this is for whosoever will, that it's already been provided, and that God put that raising from the dead power on the inside of you, and you're going to have to take it. It says in Matthew chapter 11, He says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. To some people, that's a mystery what that means, but it just means that God has already put this kingdom on the inside of us, and you've got to get violent in your attitude. You got to quit being passive. You can't come before God and just say, God, if it's your will, would you please heal me? You got to find out what his will is. Find out that he's already healed you of all sickness and all diseases. It's already been done. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. It's complete. He's done his part. God isn't waiting to heal you. You aren't waiting on God. God is waiting on you to believe that he did what he said he did in the Word. For you to take it by faith and believe that God placed this raising from the dead power on the inside of you, and then you take your authority and go to speaking to your mountain. Command that sickness and disease. You know, I've taught on this recently, but again, Mark chapter 11, verse 23 is just a great example of what I'm talking about. He was teaching his disciples how he just spoke to the fig tree, and within 24 hours, this fig tree was totally dead. And his disciples were shocked. And he said, have faith in God. And then he told how to do miracles like this. And this applies to healing. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. It tells you there how to release this power. And first of all, it says, whosoever shall say to this mountain. Notice it didn't say, whosoever shall say to God, God, I believe you can move this mountain. I'm asking you to move this mountain. If you will, please, pretty please, if it be your will, for Jesus' sake, amen. See, that's the way most people pray for healing and things like that. They don't assume any responsibility, no authority. They just come and, God, you have to do it. The Lord told us, you speak to your mountain. Don't talk to God about your mountain. Talk to the mountain about God. And implied in there, if you'll just stop and think this through, we by ourselves can do nothing. We can't overcome the problems, the sickness and the disease that comes against us. And so for us to talk to our problem and command our mountain to get out of the way, command cancer to get out of our body, command blindness to leave our eyes, command sugar diabetes to get out of our body. For us to do that, if you would think about this, this is implying that you understand that by his stripes you were healed, that power has now been placed on the inside of you. Ephesians 1:19, you've got raising from the dead power. So God's already done it. And like the disciples said in Acts chapter 3, such as I have, give I unto thee. So it's implied, it's understood that you know God has already done his part. He's given this power and authority to you. Now you take it and you speak to the problem. And there's not very many people that do this. Again, the typical way, and I bet you, if you would be honest right now, how have you been praying? How have you been dealing with your sickness? I can guarantee you the vast majority of you have been saying, oh God, would you please heal me? Oh Father, I'm asking you to stretch forth your hand. Please touch me. You know, in a way, I know that most people do that because they don't know any better. But once you see the truth, you know what that is? That's nearly an insult to God. He says, by his stripes you were healed. I gave you raising from the dead power. You speak to your mountain. And in spite of all of his instructions, oh God, I'm nothing. I have nothing. Would you please heal me? It's unbelief. And it's not going to release the power of God. If you want to see the supernatural power of God, you've got to know that God has already provided healing. He punished his son. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. He has already provided healing for every sickness and every disease. There is nothing that escapes the atonement of the Lord Jesus. He bore the sickness and the disease of every human being who has ever or will ever live on this planet. He took that sickness and that disease into his own body on the tree. He died for us. And then he gave us this power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And now, because of those things, you can't just approach God as if you aren't born again, as if you don't have this raising from the dead power, as if God hasn't done it. You've got to believe what He's done, and it changes the way that you pray. And you've got to believe that you now have this power and you speak directly to the sickness. You say, pain in the name of Jesus, leave my body. Spine in Jesus' name, I command you to be straight. Scoliosis, get out of my body. Curvature of the spine, you leave me. Spine, you be healed. Disc, you be healed. Heart, you be healed. Sinuses, you be healed. Talk to it. And I know some of you think, this is strange that you would talk to an inanimate object. The Bible says Jesus talked to a fig tree and it obeyed him. And if you'll go back there to Mark chapter 11, verse 14, it says Jesus answered the fig tree and said, that means not only did Jesus talk to the fig tree, but the fig tree had been talking to him. You know, things will talk to you. Your body will talk to you and say, well, it didn't work. You're still sick. Your elbow will say, oh, I still got pain. No, I'm not healed. Anything that talks to you, talk back to it. If your checkbook tells you, oh, it didn't work, you aren't prosperous. Man, look at all of the red in this checkbook. Anything that talks to you, anything that gives you a thought of unbelief, talk back to it. Talk to your checkbook. Talk to your body. Talk to that pain. Say, in the name of Jesus, I was healed. And you control your body with your words. James chapter 3 talks about we put a bit in a horse's mouth and we turn about their entire body. This huge animal can be controlled because we put a bit in their mouth. Likewise, your tongue can control your body. You can say, body, you are healed. It's not good enough to say, body, you can be healed. I believe that you are going to be healed. I'm waiting on God to heal you. But you move to a whole nother level when you say, body, you were healed in the name of Jesus. You are healed. Now I command my nerves to function properly. I command these things, and you speak to your body. You talk to it. Say, itch in the name of Jesus. I command you to get out of my body. Body, in Jesus' name, you respond now. And you start taking that approach and doing what God's Word says. And you can start seeing healing come to pass. But I tell you, it's not a matter of pleading with God and learning how to get God to move. God has already moved. It's now all a matter of you receiving, believing that you have it, and then releasing this power, taking your authority and speaking like a believer instead of a beggar. Boy, that's huge. I know that there's people watching this program right now that you're in a desperate situation, and if God doesn't come through, you're going to die. The good news is God did come through. He sent His Son, and He's already paid for whatever it is that's trying to kill you. And if you would take what I've said and be absolutely convinced that God has already provided it and that that power's not out there somewhere, but it's on the inside of you when you get born again, God places this raising from the dead power on the inside of you. And if you are absolutely convinced of that, then it's a simple matter of taking your authority, speaking to that mountain, to that problem, whatever it is, and don't doubt in your heart, but stand strong that what you've said is going to come to pass. You have the promise of Mark 11, 23, that you shall have whatsoever you say. I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe that God is speaking directly to some of you right now and quickening faith in your heart. I encourage you to get these materials, but also, as you call in and request the materials, please ask someone to pray with you and pray a prayer of agreement, and they can speak over you the way that the Word says, and it will provide you with a model to follow. And I believe that you're going to be healed today in the name of Jesus.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's newest book, titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is available for a gift of any amount. This book is unlike any other Andrew has ever written. Rather than one topic, it contains 16 of Andrew's most powerful teachings. Each is condensed into a single chapter, making this the most comprehensive collection of life-changing messages we've ever offered. Contact us today to get your copy. Or, if you prefer, you can order Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword on DVD as seen on TV. This series has over 7 hours of life-changing teaching. The entire DVD series is available for a gift of any amount. There's also a new Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword workbook available for a gift of $35 or more. The workbook works well in conjunction with the DVD series, offering the opportunity for deeper study of the biblical principles Andrew presents in his teaching. Or you can get all three of these products by ordering the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package. This package includes the brand new book, the As Seen on TV DVD series, and the workbook. The entire package has a catalog value of $79, but today you can get the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package for a gift of just $69 or more. A single DVD containing the fourth week's broadcast of this series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth DVD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website, where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma next week for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 5th through the 7th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock Church of Atlanta Sunday, May 8th, in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so, I yelled at him and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free.
Catch the complete story today. Log on to awmi.net. Click on Ministry News and take a healing journey today.